You're with us for the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kahn. Thanks for being here. We're exploring this magical moment in Milwaukee sports history. So rewind to 1971. The Bucks franchise clinched the 1971 NBA championship pennant. The stats showed just how unstoppable. 66 regular season wins, 12 of 14 playoff wins, and a 4-0 sweep of the Baltimore Bullets. So would you consider that 1971 Bucks among the greatest NBA teams of all time? Where do you think the current Bucks stand up to other exceptional teams in NBA history? And what do you remember about that season? We're at 800-642-1234. Sports historian Rick Schabowski was a college freshman. He caught Bucks fever, missing only five games that storied season. And his new book is called From Coin Toss to Championship, 1971, the Year of the Milwaukee Bucks. And he joins us from our studios in Milwaukee. Rick, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
All right. Well, take us back to your college student days, and you're in the stands there watching that championship season, rarely missing a game. What was it like going to those games?
It was really magical. I mean, the thing is that what we accomplished is unprecedented. We were an expansion team, and in 3 years, we won that title. And even our first season, the first season here, we won 27 games, which was really impressive for an expansion team. And then, of course, the coin flip. I was sitting in Pulaski High School with an earphone stuck under my shirt and listening. And they say, hey, we got you know, Kareem, the coin flip. We got it, you know. And
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
I refer to him as Lil Cinder in the book because he changed his name officially later. But for all our younger listeners, when I say Lil Cinder, anybody know who's that? So we got it covered that way. But the thing is, when we got Kareem, he did really well. But the next piece was getting Oscar Robertson, and he really helped. And sitting in the stands that year was just really great watching them play.
How full were they? How many people were there?
At the Bucks?
At the state, yeah, when you went to the games that season.
See, the first season, the Bucks set a record for an expansion team drawing almost 7,000 per game. Doesn't seem like much. But once we got Kareem, the things were going. Almost every game was sold out. Virtual sellouts all the time. Tough to get tickets. In fact, when we got Kareem, we had an unprecedented event. We had an inter-squad game in June, a Sunday evening in June. And it was just filled the place just to see. And people just were in awe watching Kareem with that skyhook, the term Eddie Doucette coined, and watching him play. People were just like deers in the headlight, no pun intended with the Bucks. But they were so happy to see him play. And it was just fever. The Bucks were here at the right time. We had lost the Braves to Atlanta, and they filled the void really well because we had a team. And the Brewers came in 1970, so we were back in the big leagues again, and the Bucks, everybody was a big part of it.
How much did it cost to go to those games?
Wow. You could get a really good seat, like we put obviously at the Pfizer Arena, and you could get a good ticket. The top tickets were $7.50. So that's what we pay for a service charge now, probably.
That's right, yeah.
But the thing is that, and the playoffs were a little more. And I managed to get a seat for one of the last game in Milwaukee, the playoffs, when they beat the, at that time, Baltimore Bullets, for $15, a director's seat, they called it. So the cost was much cheaper, but we were making less money, too, then. But, and like Kareem getting $1.2 million, now look at that. That's, you know, economy. But people were really passionate about the Bucks team. They loved it.
We're talking about the Milwaukee Bucks this hour with Rick Schabowski, who chronicled the team's 1971 championship season. His new book is From Coin Toss to Championship. What questions do you have about the Bucks' first and only NBA title? What do you want to know about the team, about the coach, about that magical season? Join in any point, 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. So, Rick, you were at the game last night against the Pacers. How different is the experience today going to Bucks games at the Pfizer Forum?
Well, the NBA has changed a lot, for one. You know, back then we didn't have all these networks like TNT, ESPN. The game is much more visible than it was, you know, back in the back in the 40s when it formed, 50s, 60s. But the thing is, and the athletes are obviously more athletic. There's more scoring. There's more going on. Nothing against that 70 team, but there's a lot of parallels with this team and our championship team. We have a franchise player with Giannis in the middle, as much as we have with Kareem. Oscar was a big thing. He's another Hall of Famer who helped blend that team. He'd bring that ball up court and point people, you go there, the players, and it was really good. But this team has a really deep bench, too, our current team, and they're on pace to win probably more or equal to the 66 games that 71 team did. So there's a lot of parallels. They're both exciting to watch.
Are the players more or less disciplined today about their training, about their practice, about what they look like on court? Is there any way to measure that?
There's not really a way to measure it, but now, like even with baseball in the old days, athletes had to have off-season jobs to supplement their income. Now they don't need that. And basketball players, a lot of sports athletes now, your job as a player on this team is a 24/7, 365-day job. So conditioning, I think, is much more important. You got a lot of summer leagues now in the NBA. Play foreign basketball is much bigger than it was when the Bucks won it. It's still a great game. It's still putting the ball in the hoop. And this Bucks team now, it's much the same way, the way they move the ball over to the weak side, how they rotate, how they have a sense of where everyone is on the court, and they keep hitting that open man and a deep bench. So I'm excited about this team, too. I think you have to be if you're a Wisconsin sports fan.
Going back to 1971, the Bucks championship season, you mentioned, came on the heels of Milwaukee losing its professional baseball team, the Braves, but then getting another team a few years later. How did that shape the fan attitudes of the Bucks around that same time?
Well, actually, I have in the book, but one of the people responsible indirectly for the Bucks being here, Vince Lombardi. What happened is that after we lost the Braves, Marv Fishman was looking, a Milwaukee business person, was looking for a major league sports team. And he set his sights originally on the American Football League, the old AFL, and was trying to get an expansion team for football from Milwaukee that will use County Stadium. But Lombardi right away said, hey, he wanted to sign a pact that said exclusive rights for the Packers for County Stadium. So with that happened, Fishman turned his sights elsewhere, and the NBA was the next target that he wanted to get a team for Milwaukee.
Former Senator Herb Cole sold the Bucks to its current owners in 2014, but take us back to those earlier days. Who was really running the team, making those decisions in the early years?
Well, obviously, Marv Fishman, if you remember, Wes Pavilon, who was also one of the people who ran Manpower Incorporated, was involved, and our coach was Larry Costello. He was a former player. He played in a great 66-67 Philadelphia 76ers team. He was a coach. John Erickson, who used to be was a basketball coach at University of Wisconsin, became our general manager. So we had a lot of local influx running this team, and I can't say enough, too, about how the team was marketed. Eddie Doucette was allowed. We had a Go Bucks Go fan club. He had a dictionary of all his terms available, tie hook. I mean, you probably remember that, the Cyclops. It's one of my listening to, but Eddie is a very good man. He helped with this book, too. It was a really good, they marketed the team really well, just like they do now. Community involvement, and you got to be a Bucks fan. They drew a lot, like I said, for that first year because they did a good job marketing that team.
Rick Schabowski is our guide as we remember the 1971 Bucks championship title, the stats, the roster, the incredible marketing, the rise in just 3 short years of the franchise. Is Oscar Robertson or Kareem Abdul-Jabbar your favorite Bucks player of all time? What did you love about watching them? Who are some of your favorite Bucks players over the years? How do you think the game has evolved since the 70s? We're making room for your memories through the hour, 800-642-1234. Back in a moment with Rick Schabowski right here on the Ideas Network.
Yeah.
If you're just joining us, we're exploring the 1971 Milwaukee Bucks championship team, arguably one of the most dominant in NBA history. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and we're taking a trip down memory lane, the talent, the perseverance, the personalities. The Bucks opener for the 69 season was nationally televised. It showcased the debut of this rookie named Lou Alcindor. We know him as the legendary Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. He changed the name after leading the Bucks to the 1971 NBA championship at age 24. So what sticks out with you about that season all these years later? Did you go to any of those games? Join in 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Sports historian Rick Schabowski stays with us, and his new book is called From Coin Toss to Championship. So, Rick, let's talk about two of the Bucks' star players, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Oscar Robertson. You mentioned them both a bit earlier, and the title of your book references just how luck played a role in the Bucks acquiring Kareem. Can you explain what happened there with that coin toss?
Well, what happened at that point of the season was that the two teams that had the worst records in each conference went at that point, instead of this draft lottery, pour balls out of this bag. They went to a coin flip, and at that point in March of 1969, the two teams with the worst records in each conference were the Phoenix Suns and the Milwaukee Bucks. So the Bucks had a better record than Phoenix, so Phoenix got the opportunity to call the coin, heads or tails. And what happened is that we didn't win the coin toss. Phoenix lost it. What happened is that they gave the vote to their fans. What should we call, heads or tails? So the fans, I think, voted heads, or you have to read the book to see what they called. Just kidding. But the thing is, they called it wrong, and the Bucks were the winners. And I remember right away, I think Wes Pavlon said, I like that. I like make the other guy made the mistake, not me. So once they had the coin flip, they had the rights to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Was he the obvious pick for the Bucks, or was that a bit of luck as well?
Well, he was the most dominant player in college that season, without question. That he was just amazing. You had to take him. He was sought after even after his high school for his college recruitment. But getting him was, you had to have him because he's a franchise player, and he proved it for decades with his career with not only the Bucks but also the Lakers.
How much did Kareem change the Bucks after he arrived?
Well, it was instantaneous because now you had a person in the paint. You could get that ball to him, he'd skyhook, he'd match up on any other player, and he could do it. And he was a good ball handler, a good team player, and rebounding, defense, everything. He just was similar to Giannis, the person who stirs the drink.
You're drawing some similarities there between Kareem and Giannis, and I'm wondering, you know, Kareem didn't get the MVP until 74. Giannis has gotten the MVP. What parallels do you see there?
It's just that the league, well, for one thing, it's the league was smaller then. There were 17 teams, and it was more. Now you got 30 teams, you know. It's a little different. You had some really great players back then, such Boston players like Havlicek, Willis Reed. You had all kinds of players who were good, too. Same thing here, that it's – but. Later on, Kareem just stood out so much, and he won so many MVPs during his career, too, with the Lakers moving on. But it's a tough vote being an MVP, voting for MVP, because when there's so many great players out there.
We're discussing the Milwaukee Bucks 1971 championship season with author Rick Schabowski. His book is called From Coin Toss to Championship. You can join in here. What do you remember about the Bucks championship season? Were you there? Did you go to any of the games that year? Is Oscar Robertson or Kareem Abdul-Jabbar your favorite Bucks players of all time? What do you love about watching them? What are some of your favorite players today? Join in 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Tell us about some of the rivalries in those early years, Rick. Who were some of the Bucks' toughest competitors?
Well, actually, the Bucks always had difficulty with the New York Knicks. I think you knew that. They had a really great team. They had won the title in the year before, 1969-70. And they had Willis Reed, like I mentioned earlier, Walt Frazier, Dave DeBuscher, Bill Bradley, a lot of Hall of Fame players. And frankly, they had the Bucks' number. The year the Bucks won the title, the Bucks lost to them 4 times out of 5. Man, it was really – the Bucks had 2 winning streaks during that year. They had an 18-game winning streak, which was snapped by the Knicks. Mm. And so the Knicks, Dave DeBuscher, Bradley, these forwards really played well. And the games were always competitive, don't get me wrong. But what happened was the Knicks were beaten in the conference finals. And then we end up playing, at that time, the Baltimore Bullets, which is now the Washington Wizards. And they beat the Knicks in 7 games. They beat them in New York. So we thought we'd be facing the Knicks in the finals, and we ended up facing the Baltimore Bullets. But also another rivalry team, obviously, that city 90 miles south of us. I don't care if it's Bears, Cubs, or whatever. The Bulls were also one team that, oh, boy, and people come from Chicago. And, you know, and it was not a good rivalry. And it helped the sport, helped sell tickets.
Some words exchanged.
Yeah, it was a good thing for both cities to have this, and it still is today.
69-71 season, the Bucks acquired Oscar Robertson, known as the Big O, to help make that run for a title. Why did the Bucks want to add him to the roster?
We had a younger team. We had Kareem, who was only 1 year in the league. Greg Smith was a great player there a couple years in. And Bob Dandridge was recent to the team. We had a very young team, and we had good chemistry there. But Oscar, just like I said, he'd been there before. He's been an all-star and all these things. Averaged a triple-double at one point for a season first to do it. But the thing is that he came in and it created team chemistry. He'd bring that ball up. Like I said before, he'd direct everybody where to go. He had that veteran experience of being there before, and he shared it with that team, and he really grew. And he was good in assists, good all-around player, passing, defense, rebounding. Was a strong rebounder, 6'5 guard. But he had good court sense, and he made everybody in that team that much better, that his addition really helped. And I think the Bucks realized that deficiency. They actually got him like 2 or 3 days after they lost. They lost to the Knicks in 69-70 in the playoffs. And right after they lost to the Knicks, it wasn't too long afterwards, they acquired Oscar Robertson to address those issues.
How did Coach Larry Costello guide this team, especially with some young players on the roster?
The thing that they always joked about Costello, I mean, he was a good coach too. I mean, he was kind of not as animate as our present coach Mike Budenholzer. But the big thing about Larry Costello is, well, people listen to him. They always joked about him having a yellow legal pad. I mean, we didn't have our eye pencil back then or whatever, so I guess we had to use a legal pad and a pen. But he would call plays, and he would just draw them on his legal pad and show everybody. And evidently they liked what he did because we got results. But he was kind of low-key, but like I said, he got results.
You were mentioning some of the nicknames that these players had, the Greyhound, the Cement Mixer, Captain Marvel. How did these nicknames come about?
Eddie Doucette, again, was really great on that, and we called Kareem the King. And like I said, I got them all in the book, all the nicknames, a lot of stuff he used. He had terms like the Cyclops for the, you know, the toaster where people are going for rebounds. But he was really... I can't say enough about him, really. I think a lot of people, listeners call him maybe later, he was such an exciting person that even though his team only won 27 games, he had you really riveted listening to this game on the radio. He said, boy, I got to come see this team play. But those nicknames are really cool, like Captain Marvel, like you mentioned, the Cement Mixer. And, you know, we can talk maybe later briefly, but one of the chapters in this book that I really like is I have Where Are They Now? Yeah. I did contact a lot of these players, and they mentioned what they're doing now. And they sent me some current pictures of how they look. And unfortunately, we lost two. We lost McCoy McLemore and Bob Boozer. And we recently lost Tom Nasalki, who was the assistant coach. But they're really good seeing them, what they're doing. And they help with the book, too.
Remind us how the Bucks got its name.
The Bucks got a team, well, actually, because... Again,
how the name came about of the Bucks.
That was actually I don't have it in the book, but it was a contest held about coming up with a name, and somebody I believe from Whitefish Bay, I don't know the name offhand, came up with the team Bucks because deer in Wisconsin, as long as you're not hunting over Thanksgiving, any basketball players. But the thing is that that he came out this team Bucks, bearded, high jumpers, all these things. And I guess they went through all these different names in the Bucks. It made sense with the animals in Wisconsin and also the athleticism. And later on, if you remember, we had briefly had a short-lived women's basketball league. Our entry in that was the Milwaukee Does. Mm. We had a team, Milwaukee Does, which was the Women's Basketball Professional Association. So Bucks, I think, was really great. And it was, you know, I think to me the logo was really great, too. All the logos they've had are so descriptive and nice.
What did you like about the logo in 71?
It just was so nice. They showed, like, on the cover of the book, we have the logo. And the buck, a good picture of a buck, has that jersey on.
It's a happy buck.
Yeah, spinning, he's smiling, spinning that ball, and after he throws it, it's going to go in the hoop, too.
We're reliving the 71 Bucks season world championship with Rick Schabowski, who only missed a handful of games that storied season. Did you catch Bucks fever in 1970? Did you go to the games? Are you caught up in Bucks fever this season, this moment? What have been some of your favorite games to watch? Have you been to the Pfizer Forum? We're at 800-642-1234. Back for more with Rick Schabowski after this news update on the Ideas Network. We are exploring Milwaukee Bucks franchise history here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, talking about the last time the Bucks won an NBA championship with an author who chronicled that famous 1971 season. So in the spring of 69, the Bucks held a press conference announcing the newest player, Lou Alcindor. When asked what he would do with the money, Alcindor said, "I'm just going to use it to make myself financially stable." We know him as basketball legend Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, who said in a highlight video nearly 2 years ago about that 1971 roster,
"We had a good depth and a good starting team. Getting over the finish line in first place in 71, that was very special."
What comparisons can you draw with Bucks players today and back then? How do you think the game of basketball has evolved since the 70s? Are you a collector? What memorabilia do you own? Join in through the hour, 800-642-1234. And Rick Schabowski wrote a book about the team's 71 championship season. He stays with us. So, Rick, when I watched the footage from 71, looked at your pictures all through your book, I saw race on display, African-American players being hugged, being accepted, sitting shoulder to shoulder with their white teammates and coaches. Did you notice when racial barriers came down in the NBA?
Well, actually, the barriers were there in all the sports, too, like you mentioned. And actually, you got to thank like Martin Luther King, the civil rights movement, to help. But actually, you can look at Jackie Robinson as being a trailblazer, what he accomplished coming in Major League Baseball, opened the doors literally and figuratively for the other sports, too. And integration started taking place slowly but surely, long overdue, but it occurred. And I think that once you can, like you mentioned, once you're on that floor, I don't care what color you are, you're all there as a team, you're all working together, and you're all friends, and there's friendship, camaraderie. And I think sports breaks down a lot of these barriers. It helps. It's a very valuable tool to treat people the way they should be treated.
What was Kareem's contract like? How much was he getting paid?
See, Kareem was really great with this, and he didn't want a bidding war. He just wanted, like, compared to some other athletes, might be different. But he said, "I won one bid." The rival American Basketball Association, ABA, had his rights for him to sign with their league. And being from New York, people figured, oh, boy, this is going to be a tough call because he's from New York. Milwaukee, you know. But Kareem was real cool about it. He said, "Well, I want one offer, and that's it." Mm-hmm. And the Bucks outbid the New York Nets, now causally the Brooklyn Nets or New Jersey Nets, and Kareem lived up to his word and signed with the Bucks. There's a rumor that supposedly George Mikan, who was the ABA commissioner, had a blank check or a check in his pocket to sign Kareem. He never came forward and everything, and they kind of blew it. But Kareem, again, that one offer, and in April, wasn't a long process, like about a month later, he's a Milwaukee Buck, and there's a picture in the book showing his jersey, and he's there with John Erickson, the Bucks general manager. And his
father is involved in the process.
I don't know if he had an agent or whatever. Like I said, it was a month.
Okay.
And He was there. It was there. And here we are in April. He signed a contract, and we don't start ball until October. So it really was really refreshing to have him on board that quickly.
You chronicled the Bucks' entire season, but let's zoom in on the playoffs and that championship. Which teams did they need to beat in the playoffs, and what was that like?
Okay, well, we had the best record in the league, obviously, 66-16. And, you know, we could almost won 70 games, too. But when you read the book, the last couple of games of the regular season, we didn't roll the dice, Coach Costello. We played reserves. We lost, you know, some of our last games, but we were getting our bench ready for the playoffs. But 66-16, impressive. So the first round, we played the San Francisco Warriors, now known as the Golden State Warriors. And what's an amazing tidbit about these playoffs is that, and you talk to people about it, it's in the book, we couldn't play the first round games in Milwaukee, our home team, our home games, because the home show had the Milwaukee Arena booked. Yeah, believe it. Yeah, this is true. The first three seasons of the Bucks, when they're in the playoffs, we had to go
like
to Madison. We had to go to Fieldhouse Gardens. Yeah, but it was really something because they had the home show booked and we couldn't play there. So we had to play in Madison, the Wisconsin Fieldhouse, and I went up there. I had some friends. We went up there for the games, and it was nice. They had more tickets too. They seat about 12,500 compared to the 10,746. It was always a number, and then later it went to 10,938, the arena. But we went to Madison, and it was nice. It was a nice trip. And I'll never forget the Bucks. Like you said, they had a great record in the playoffs, 12-2. They lost game four in California on a last-second shot, and they had to come back to Madison on a Sunday afternoon and play, and they just annihilated San Francisco. Mm-hmm. It was a massacre. So that was the first round. The next round, we played the Los Angeles Lakers, and here we are. Wilt Chamberlain, they had some injuries. Jerry West was hurt, some players, but Wilt really played great in that. It was great watching Wilt and Kareem go at it, and those were always good matchups back then. A lot of players, like also Kareem and Willis Reed, Wes Unseld. But again, there we went 4-1. We lost one game out there, and we're on to the next round.
And then the Baltimore Bullets, now called the Washington Wizards.
Like we said back then, they were the Baltimore Bullets, but they upset the Knicks. The Knicks were a little banged up, some injuries and stuff, but Earl Monroe had a big series. Gus Johnson was ailing with his knees, but he played good. Wes Unseld, they had a good team, Jack Maron. And we played the Bullets. And at that time, after the first round, we were back in Milwaukee again, no more Fieldhouse. So the Lakers games and the Bullets games were in the Milwaukee Arena. But and the format was different than today. It was 1-1-1. We played one game Milwaukee, one game Baltimore, one game. So we played games 1 and 3 here, and impressive. We get the broom out. We're sweeping the Bullets away. Four straight.
That last game, though, lands in Baltimore. Did you listen to the game over the radio? Did you watch it on TV? Where were you?
Well, I stayed at home with my parents and then we watched the game. Yeah, ABC was the big network for the NBA at that point. And they had the game on. Yeah, we had to watch it. This is unparalleled until this later this year, hopefully, that the Bucks are champions. And 118-106, I remember that score. I remember I pictured the book, them jumping off the bench. And it was just, wow, great.
We're talking about the Milwaukee Bucks this hour. Rick Schabowski is our guide. He chronicled the team's 1971 title season, that journey, and his new book is called From Coin Toss to Championship. You can join in at any point about this season, about the Bucks who you see today. Do you see comparisons or contrasts? How has the game evolved? How has Milwaukee evolved with basketball? Join in. Your thoughts, 800-642-1234. You can email ideas@WPR.org. So, Rick, you were at the Milwaukee airport when the team arrived home from winning that championship. What do you remember about that day?
Well, see, back then, like we said, the NBA wasn't as big. There was no really formal parade or anything. It's hard to believe, but that's how it was. But yeah, they made an announcement that the Bucks will be coming in this and this gate at Mitchell Field at this time Saturday afternoon, early Saturday afternoon, as I recall. And it was quite a scene down there. There were a lot of people there. And I managed, boy, I remember I slapped five with Kareem.
Did you really?
There. Yeah, I managed that. It's an unforgettable moment. And they all came. They came like through regular baggage, which was, you know, I'm sure that wouldn't be the case now. They'd be somewhere else. But they came right through the baggage claim, and there they were. And everybody was just going crazy, and deservedly so, because, wow, here they are. And it'd been nice to win at home, but to me, now we can talk about that sweep instead.
So you were able to get really up close with these players as they came off the plane.
Yeah, the security wasn't as bad. I mean, a different era again now. Boy, you know, probably, like I said, you wouldn't even have opportunity. But, yeah, there were a lot of people in that concourse.
Mm. The Bucks were dominant through that season, as you mentioned, winning 66 of their 82 regular season games and nearly coasting to the title. Do they belong in this conversation about the greatest teams of all time in the NBA?
Absolutely. To win 66 games is an accomplishment. And like I said, even then, with only 17 teams in the league, now it's more a little more diluted, but we got more people playing basketball. But like I said before, they had an 18-game winning streak, and later they had set the record. They had a 20-game winning streak, and that was still up. Those streaks are still up. They're very high on the NBA streak list. And that 20-game streak ended again when Coach Costello decided, we're going to rest, play some of our bench. They knew they were in the playoffs. They knew they had home court. And then, yeah, they kind of coasted the last five, six games. But, yeah, you look at the total wins, absolutely. You just look at Kareem and Oscar, right there you got it. And then I can't say enough, the supporting cast was great. Greg Smith, Holland Jerry Lucas, scoreless a game during a regular season. Johnny Mack, what can you say about him? He's the face of the Milwaukee franchise. He's a broadcaster. All the people there, Bob Dandridge, the Greyhound, all these people fit in so well, obviously. So you had it was a good team.
Yeah, it sounds like it took a village, too. There's a lot of people who made the Bucks who they are those days. And then for three seasons after the championships, the Bucks made the playoffs, but really fell short of winning another title. What was holding them back? Why did they struggle?
Well, I discussed that, you know, what happened. And one thing I missed in the book that I should have really mentioned is that the Bucks had the rights to Julius Erving at one point. Mm. And God knows what would have happened. Maybe if we had signed Julius Erving, maybe Kareem stays, maybe it's alternative history. But what happened to the Bucks was this. They ran into a very hot Nova team, the 71-72 Lakers had a long winning streak too. Everyone was healthy for them, Elgin Baylor, Will Chamberlain, Jerry West, and they had just a run year. We lost some in the playoffs, 4-2, but it was a good effort.
Yeah, we were still playing very well.
Oh yeah, they won 60 some games again in the following season. It's in the book there how they did. So that first season after the championship, they just ran to a red hot, a great team, Laker team.
Rick Schabowski is our guide. He's the author of From Coin Toss to Championship 1971, the year of the Milwaukee Bucks. You can join in with your memories of that season, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Back in a moment with Rick Schabowski right here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Thanks for being here. We're spending the hour exploring the last time the Bucks won an NBA championship with an author who chronicled that history-making 1970 to 1971 season. So what do you see for the future of the Bucks franchise? What do you think of Giannis Antetokounmpo, the team's star? What's your level of excitement about the Bucks this year? Are you a longtime fan or just discovering the team? Join in 800-642-1234. Rick Schabowski chronicled the team's 1971 title season in the book From Coin Toss to Championship, and he stays with us. So, Rick, this year the Bucks are sitting at the top of the Eastern Conference, and Vegas likes their odds of making it to the finals for the first time since 74. How close has the team come to the finals since those golden years in the 70s?
Well, actually, to continue those 3 years after the title, They just got beat. I have no excuses. They won 60 games. They had defeated, at this time now they were known as the Golden State Warriors. And Golden State beat them. It was a big upset. In the first round of playoffs, they're out in the 1972-73 season. But in 1974, and I know some people may remember this, we lost in the finals. We made the NBA Finals and lost to the Celtics in Game 7. So we took them the whole route. And I think people probably remember that historic Kareem hook shot over Henry Finkel in the Garden, Boston Garden. Game 6 looks a tough double overtime win. We come back to Milwaukee, but we lose the game. And what really hurt our Bucks team that 73-74 season happened on March 15th. And you talk about injuries. Well, Lucius Allen slipped on a warm-up jersey that was on the side of the bench, hurt his knee, was out for the playoffs. And having Lucius Allen in that series, I know injuries are part of the game, but having Lucius Allen in that series available for us would have might have very well changed things for us, and we'd be having a book about the 73-74 season in two.
So you were at Pfizer Forum last night watching the Bucks take on the Pacers. How are they looking?
Oh, I mean, it's just I know you had their bumps at Miami. They ran into a team where they were in a collective funk, and Miami, they all were hitting. But this team is so well, like I said before, rotating that ball, kicking the ball over, seeing the open man, Giannis. Such court sense. There was just an unbelievable outlet pass to Giannis, and here it is. And people come off that bench, Cognitan, and they, you can go on and on. All the people, they have a very deep bench. DiVincenzo, they're very deep, and they're well coached, too. You can see that. And right away, Coach Budenholzer comes over there. When they call a timeout, he talks to his assistants, and there he is. And it seems to be a friendly group there, too. They really get along. They have fun. And you can see it's a great experience, and this is a memorable season, too.
Well, the Bucks have their new superstar in his prime with Giannis rallying around him. But does the memory of losing Kareem still haunt Milwaukee, still sting?
Well, you kind of knew it was going to happen. Uh-huh. You give him credit for the 5 years. First of all, signing here, not avoiding a bidding war. You got to respect him for that. And you got to respect that he played his heart out here. He played tough. He really, you know, there never was a letdown. He was always on it. And what hurt our team is last year here is that he broke his hand and he was out the first 18 games of the season. Of course, the Bucks and Rosker had retired after that season also. So we were the first 18 games of that 74-75 season without Kareem and Oscar being retired. And we came back, made a 38-44 record and came there. But, yeah, it was tough. But Kareem played his heart out here. And losing him, well, that happens.
Do we know how Kareem felt about leaving Milwaukee?
Well, I'm sure he probably was. He went back to, you know, L.A.
Yeah.
You know, and that was his stopping ground, UCLA. And I'm sure it was probably easier for him to adjust living there and the weather's different there. And I'm sure he adjusted well. But he was at the game last week. I mean, he still is visible. His number's up on the Raptors there. We'll always remember Kareem and his accomplishments in Milwaukee.
We're discussing the Milwaukee Bucks 71 championship season with author Rick Schabowski through the hour. His book is called From Coin Toss to Championship. Still time for you to join in with your memories and your questions about the Bucks franchise. We're at 800-642-1234. I want to play a little bit here of Giannis, and he's at a press conference saying that he's having a blast this season.
I've been having fun playing basketball my whole life, but obviously winning makes it a lot easier to come to your job, you know, every day. When you're losing, everybody's pissed, you know, emotions get into it, everybody's getting their feelings, so it makes it tough. But when you win, it makes it easier to do your job. I always have fun.
How do you feel about those thoughts there? You know, winning makes the job easier. How important is winning a championship to Giannis?
Well, it has to happen. I mean, that's the ultimate goal of every player is to wear that ring and to get that trophy. Like even the Super Bowl and all this World Series, you're at the pinnacle of the top. You're there, and it's an unforgettable experience. So, yeah, it's a tough road. Like we talked about even the Bucks back then, there's so many things that can happen, injuries, running into a hot team. All these things can happen. But the thing is stay focused, and this team is really focused too. You can see it on the floor. They come out there. There's really a sense of urgency that they want. And they're very good with the fans too. I can't say about, the Bucks marketing still today. My season ticket rep, Charles Rathke, very good. And there are so many promotions they run. But, yeah, it's an experience. I think we're blessed with the Brewers also doing that, having the fans experience things at, other than the game, the ballpark, the feelings there. It's great.
When you look at where these players and coaches are today, and you, in the last chapter, see those connections, has anyone stayed connected with the Milwaukee community?
Well, I mentioned that Kareem was here last Friday, and he had some hats out they gave out. It was cool. Oscar Robertson was also at a game this season, and they acknowledged him. They announced, hey, here he is, Oscar Robertson, the PA announcer, and there's Kareem. And you can't say enough about John McLaughlin, too. Like before I mentioned, the Mac Fund, him and Eddie Doucette running that. And by the way, all the proceeds from this book do go to the Mac Fund. Because I think that's a very good gesture, a very good thing, the organization they run. But, yeah, and then people came back and contributed to this book. I went back almost 50 years later and contacted these living players, and they responded with comments in the book. Current pictures, Greg Smith did a lot, Dick Cunningham put a picture. I should say Captain Marvel and a cement mixer and the Sundance Kid all contributed. But, yeah, there's still an allegiance to this team for them and an unforgettable memory. This much I hope this team will have those same memories in the year, do my math, 2071. Boy, that's a long way.
You dedicate your book to all Milwaukee Bucks fans. What do you love about this group of people?
Well, they're all good people. They're all fans. They're all well-behaved, all well-mannered, all well-educated. A lot of Milwaukee fans are thirsty for knowledge and thirsty to read the information about their teams. And the Milwaukee fans, well, you see the passion for it. Look at that airport, 1971. Look at all the sellouts at the Fiserv Forum, the arena. Always sold. Bradley Center always drew. We draw well. Even Milwaukee, our Brewers, for the market we have, drawing all these people. We have passionate sports fans who care about their teams.
You're one of them.
Thank you. Well, there's a lot of them out there. I'm one of the stars in the sky.
All right. Can we end with a bit of prediction for the rest of the season, where you see the Bucks headed? Can you draw any predictions for us?
Well, it's not going to be easy. The Lakers, we have a really big test tomorrow, going to L.A. playing the Lakers. Mm-hmm. And that should be a big game. And it's not going to be easy, much like it wasn't for the Bucks team in 71. Toronto is a good team, Miami. Anything can happen in the short-run playoffs, too. I mean, they should beat Orlando, don't get me wrong. That'd be their likely opponent now. But it gets hard. And these teams, Toronto last year, we get hot, we get cold, it can happen. But I don't want to get in trouble gambling, but I will say that I would bet that the Bucks can do this.
I'd like to leave that there, right there. Rick, thank you so much for joining us.
Okay, thank you so much, and stay out there, Bucks fans.
Rick Schabowski, author of From Coin Toss to Championship, 1971, the Year of the Milwaukee Bucks, and he joined us from our studios in Milwaukee. This is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to the Ideas Network.